I can't, you know, my car is going to break down. I'm afraid. But there shouldn't be much fear there. You might feel fear, and I know I have. And under the pressure of circumstances, even in our mundane American life, you feel fear. But we don't give way to fear. We need to maintain our faith and our confidence and believe that God's going to bring us through it in spite of our fears. And that's another thing. I don't give way to this thought that, oh, I'm fearing. No, God isn't going to. He isn't going to take care of me anymore because I'm afraid and I failed. I know that sometimes when I'm at my most afraid and I may be down, in the back of my mind because of the way He's treated me within the past, when I was down and low and at my wit's end and ready to gnash with my teeth in just sorrow. People think gnashing teeth is only I've heard people suggest, oh, that's only they're angry and they hate God. It's like, I grinded my teeth hating myself. You know, and I grinded my teeth in frustration with my own, failings. So, don't tell me what it means. But I believed in the deep, dark pit of my mind that God would somehow carry me through. And I knew, how did I believe it? I probably couldn't have mentally thought it. But I sought Him and I asked, what should I do? And He told me. How did He tell you? Well, the thought came to me. He put it into my mind. I believe it was Him because the thought that came into my mind solved the problem. And it was the solution. And it came very strongly. But you know, not always so. But I know that when I, as it says in the Old Testament, Psalm 22, He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. But when he cried unto Him, He heard. Just because you are fearing, just because you are in despair, and you feel like maybe you're not being very, having a lot of faith, you know, remember, it only takes faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And to me, Jesus was saying, it's not so much that, wow, you know, we need to move mountains, as much as if a mustard seed amount of faith could move a mountain, then therefore, a mustard seed amount of faith must be considered a lot of faith. So, well, I don't know. And I'm going to start philosophizing, but I don't think so. But anyways, but that to me seems like a lot. So at the times when your faith is ebbing even lower, I don't know, how much faith does it take to move a mountain and how much faith does it take to move God? From what I can tell, it doesn't take any at all, because before I had faith, He came to me. He sought me out. He sent His word to me. To give me faith. And to give me courage in the face of fears. So, you know, don't be discouraged because at times your faith comes to a low ebb. God is there to lift you up again. Believe on Him. And I'll tell you this also. Sometimes I thought I was at a low point, and I didn't realize it could get even worse. And it could get even worse than that before God even helped me. And I thought at stage one He should have helped me, and at stage two He should have helped me, and stage three He should have helped me. But afterwards, when the comfort comes, you realize, you know what? I didn't really need the help till that last stage. When it got really bad. When it got really bad, that's when I really needed help. And He was there. You know, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comfort us by the coming of Titus. For Paul, it was the coming of Titus. Titus came, you know, and he brought word of the Corinthians. not by his coming only, not just the fact that he showed up. Oh, look, it's Titus. Oh, how wonderful. You know, the cavalry's come. But he also had consolation. He had counsel and comfort of what was going on in Corinth. And that was comforting to Paul. And he told us of their earnest desire. The more, I mean, they when they realized what they had allowed to happen in their church, they repented and had a very zealous mind. Fervent means zealous here, toward Paul and his what he had said and to obey and to come into the truth in a way that was full. Not to just be half done Christian. To take it to its fullest. To do according as all what the Lord would have us do. And I'm trying not to get too specific about their situation, because to me, that's history. We have situations where we run into things, and we have to exercise our minds in the Word so that we know how to judge those situations, so we know what to do, so we know how to comfort. And he told, okay, so that I rejoice the more. He was happy to see Titus, and even happier to hear the tidings Titus brought. Verse 8, here's the historical key. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were for but a season. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Now hold on a second. They had given earnest attention to it and been fervent about heeding the things he had written. I like what he says here, because this is, a question again of sense. In what sense does he mean this? I do not repent, though I did repent. Now, it's obvious, it's not like a great puzzle. He probably means, I'm not sorry I wrote it, though I was sorry at first. Meaning he probably wrote 1 Corinthians and sent it and felt, I was too harsh and felt bad about it. But then